Well, on the Wednesday before Christmas, I wanted to share with us the good news of Christmas. Just a meditation, if you will, on the words of the angels. And the head angel, the choir leader, whatever he was. Luke 2:10, "And the angel said unto them," the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." There's enough in here for us to take this as a bit of a study. If you want to emphasize the words, he says, "Fear not, for look," that's what behold means. Look at this. Look, I good message you. This is the word evangelize. From then on, the good news would be the gospel, the euangelion, the evangel. I good message you with great joy. So there's some interesting things that he says not to do that indicate what he was doing. So let's look at four things here. One, glad tidings instead of fearful tidings. He says, "Fear not." It was obvious that when angels appear, it's a scary thing because it's supernatural. They don't look like your average guy. I mean, they can look like the average guy, and then it's not scary. But when they appear, the word used for how the angels came, we always imagine that they were decorating the sky. But it's the same word that they use for people that come up. So I don't know whether they just marched into the area or whether they appeared in the air. I don't know. The words don't help us with that. But he says, "Fear not." Somebody was trying to explain that they had the belief that if you saw an angel, it was the angel of death that was going to take you. I think it's just that the supernatural is always scary. All of our TV shows and stuff, somebody sees something that's supernatural and go, "Oh boy, I want to know more about that." No, what happens is that you go, "Yikes, this is horrible. This is out of normal. I can't believe it. Oh no." And they're trembling. Something is happening completely out of their knowledge and out of their control. So he says, "Fear not." He's telling us that he's announcing salvation instead of judgment. This isn't the end of your life and you're facing God's judgment. And he's telling us that he's bringing a Savior instead of bringing punishment. I just heard recently at the chapel at school that the story is out there that Bethlehem raised sheep for the temple sacrifice. Now, I hadn't heard that before, so I know it's not a widely understood concept. And if you look at it, I'm not sure Bethlehem is the place to do that. To us, it seems pretty close, but when we got over there to the Holy Land, we're walking around the place, looking at a map, I realized that everything that you've ever read about in Israel happened in an area about the size of Indiana. It's just a little area. And so it may be that that's what those shepherds were doing. I don't know. They just called them shepherds, and that's all we need to know. They were out at night because they were faithful men. And it wasn't on a winter's night where the ground was hard as iron. They didn't do that. They didn't keep the sheep out. They didn't keep themselves out for that in that weather. But it was at night. So they brought glad tidings. In the darkness, these shining angels, shining with the glory of God, were spectacularly visible and just scary out of your mind because it's something you've never seen before, never expected to see at all. And so fear not. This is salvation. this is a savior, not something bad. The second thing, it is, he's giving here, they are giving us self-evident blessing instead of secret promises. I come to tell you something is going to happen. No, he says, for behold, we want you to look at something. Behold the messengers. That's what the word angels means. Sent of God to give a message. No greater message ever given than this one. And behold the Savior. The message itself was, go and see the Christ child is born. The Messiah has arrived. Self-evident blessing. The third thing is this. It's joyful news instead of burdensome news. Sometimes we get news that just adds a burden to your life. Don Miller sent me a photograph of Karen at the bed of her sister dying of cancer. And Karen is bent over. You don't see her face. She's bent over at the bed. But the face of Wendy, who was the older sister, and when the mother was working so much, it was Wendy who helped to raise Karen. And you see this face, it looks like a much older person, now gaunt, almost skeletal, eyes closed, cheeks sunken in. And you know how that feels when someone that's dearest on earth to you, and you see they're just perhaps hours from death. It just puts a burden on you. This, it says, was just the opposite. I bring you good tidings of great joy. What they were saying, now that we know, is that the law was good, but it was burdensome. The burden of the measurement that you don't reach the level that God is asking. And the gospel releases the burden. The gospel releases the burden. So they were bound by the law. They were Jews. They were bound by the law to keep it, and they couldn't. But the gospel releases that burden, saying someone is here to take the burden from you. And the last thought is this. It was universal information instead of restricted information. What he says is, which shall be to all people. They didn't come to tell the shepherds alone. And we find that after they saw the baby, they went around, middle of the night evidently, went around knocking on doors, telling everybody. You know, I imagine that people roused out of their home were saying, what is it? What's emergency? And happy faces at the door saying, the Messiah has come. We have seen the baby. He's been born. Going, thanks. Close the door, go back to bed. But when they would hear of the reports of the Messiah, healing, preaching, they'd say, you know, he's about the age when those crazy shepherds woke us up that night. And there would be a ring of truth to it all. But no, he says it's to all people. So the message was for Jews. He came first to the Jews. But it was also for Gentiles. When Christ said, disciple all nations. This word nations is the word that's normally translated Gentiles in the New Testament. So he says here and all around. And then the message was for natives and for foreigners. Let me close with some verses. Luke 12:8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, whosoever shall confess me before men, shall him, the Son of Man, also confess before the angels of God. It's a whosoever. John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Have you seen the artesian wells? You don't have to drop the bucket in, pull it up, it just springs up. He says, that's what I put within you. That's why we have a gospel to share. It's bubbling up within us, eternal life. Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And finally, Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Somebody came to me and said, I don't understand that last verse. Why does it say, and he that is an atheist should come? I said, no, that's not what it says. A thirst. Close, it's just not atheist. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's our choice. That's a privilege, but it's a burden. And so I ask you two questions on this, the Wednesday before Christmas. Is that right? Yeah, that's right, because Sunday is Christmas Eve. Have you welcomed the good news? It was good news. Have you welcomed it? Have you welcomed the reception of it? And the other way of asking it is, have you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Not just some general good guy, not just some person who you read about. You accept his teachings. That's great. It's important. But that's not what salvation is. Salvation is when you accept him as your personal Savior.